Earlham Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport podcast. Hello and welcome again to Verulam Sport, and it's another local cricketing special. And we're lucky now to be joined on the line yet again by the captain of the Rolls Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division, Radlett's own, Tom Jenkins. Tom, good evening. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Tony. Yeah, really well, thanks. How are you?
Hey, doing really well. Thank you, kind. Very good. Well. Appreciate your time as always. And always appreciate the fact that, you know, you guys are the Rolls Royce of the league, and you went through the gears very nicely last week. A fairly comprehensive win, it would look to me, against Reed. Talk to me about that, and what were the standouts from your point of view, Tom?
Yeah, it was always potentially a dangerous game for us. They've got some good cricketers, Reed. So winning the toss was useful, making use of the good overhead conditions for us. So we bowled very well early on. And they, as per normal, the team put a bit of a partnership together, and they ended up getting 140 or so. And then we chased it down, 5 wickets down. We probably made a little bit of hard work of that. But good win. Put some partnership together and got over the line. So yeah, it was a good win.
Ultimately, that means that notwithstanding those two non-results, Radlett remain unbeaten. Great start to the season. Of course, no titles up for grab, but always good to finish in that top spot in the Premier Division. It sounded to me there that the victory last week was paved by your bowlers. I think you got Reed all out within 37 overs. So that's a tremendous effort there. I'm not saying that it made it a cruise. Obviously, you still had to do the business with the batters you did, but it sounded like the bowlers really paved the way there. In that regard, who were the wicket-taking demons?
So, yeah, it was a bit of a collective effort, but the two new ball guys, so Randeep Sangare and Noah Cormer, who's only 15 years of age, actually, so they started very, very well. So was really pleased with that. We had them actually 40-6 at one stage. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of hoping that we'd get them all out for under 100. They put a couple of partnerships together and were quite effective. So yeah, we bowled well up front and then sort of rescued it towards the back end of the innings and then went and knocked the runs off. But I was really happy, generally speaking, yeah.
Hey, credit to the team there. It does sound like a collective team victory, which is really good, and obviously means that in terms of games played, you remain unbeaten. Now, goodness me, this is a mouth-watering clash we've got to build up to now, isn't it? Because Radlett's performances this season sees them currently lying in second place on 145 points, played 7 with 5 victories and those 2 no results. This weekend is literally a top-of-the-table clash against Potters Bar, who are top at present. Only 3 points, literally nothing, ahead of Radlett. Played 7, 1-5, 1 game tied, and 1 loss for Potters Bar. Top-of-the-table clash. It doesn't get any bigger than this, does it?
Absolutely. That's why we play the game. But both sides have some great players. But both have first-class cricketers in their team. I think the league overall is getting much stronger in the recent few years. But yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't you want to play? I mean, let's hope the weather doesn't intervene. But yeah, mouth-watering, as you say, and everyone's really excited for this. I mean, we do have another game after that as well. So if things don't go your way, you still want to bounce back. But absolutely, if you win this, you put everything in your hands, don't you? So. And that's for both sides as well. So, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
As you say, Tom, I love the attitude there and, you know, really focuses in the mind. As you rightly say, it's why you play your great sport, to have these mouth-watering contests. With that in mind, I'm fascinated here. does it adjust the kind of training process, or do you just concentrate on what you can control, or is there any kind of sense that you need to adjust slightly for the quality that's going to come at you on Saturday?
I don't think you particularly change your training process and stuff like that. We're still fundamentally playing amateur sport, so I'm not here to parent these guys. They can. Mm-hmm. We generally have a training day, and then everyone else does everything around that they feel they need to do, and they can always talk to me if they need to do that. But I don't think you sort of you prepare too differently week in, week out. You just you kind of make yourself mentally aware of what's going to be coming at you. And if you can't get up for a game like this, then you're probably not playing for the right reasons. But yeah, like you say, really exciting. The guys have trained well so far this week. I think there's a couple of the lads are intending to train tomorrow. So yeah, bring it. Let's do this.
I just love that attitude, Tom. Fantastic. Obviously, it's an away fixture. I would imagine, as you rightly say, it is an amateur sport here. But, you know, again, there's huge amount at stake. Going to imagine to myself that there's going to be a fair few travelling Radlett fans cheering you on at the weekend.
Well, I don't think too many of them are allowed to come, actually. I think there'll be a few sort of family guys coming down and things like that. But we appreciate all the support we get when we play at home. Particularly, we do get a number of guys come down and regularly support us, and we're very, very grateful for those guys to come around, because it's in sticky times they're a good voice from the boundary line sometimes. I couldn't tell you how many, but hopefully a few will come down. Yeah, and hopefully there'll be a good atmosphere. Definitely.
No doubt about it. It is a real doozy this weekend. Tom, it's been really interesting to get your take on the recent England-Pakistan series. And obviously, we've now finished off the T20. I've explained to you before, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a test match man. Always will be. But I've got to tell you, I found myself very compelled by the T20 series. It finished 1-1. Again, I was massively impressed by Owen Morgan in the second test. And then, got to tell you, looks to me like Pakistan have unearthed a young star in Haider, only 19. And he saw his side to a victory, meaning it finished 1-1. I thought 1-1 was a reasonably fair kind of reflection of both games. But as I say, always going to veer towards test match favouritism. But as an advert for the T20 arena, pretty special, wasn't it, this series against Pakistan?
Absolutely. I think both of those sides play a very, very good brand of cricket. And Owen Morgan sort of says, look, here's our brand. Here's what we do. Keep going. Keep doing it. That's what we do. And it's very exciting to see the likes of Tom Banton and a few of these younger guys coming through, putting their hand up for selection in a team that you might suspect is fairly settled given the World Cup win in the summer. So I really get the feeling that they're kind of planning ahead and making inroads into what their selections will be. But wow, Pakistan have got some good young guys coming through. I mean, Shaheen Afridi is only 21 or 20 years old as the left arm opening bowler. Like you said, Haider is a teenager still, I believe.
19.
He's an extremely talented guy by the looks of it. And from the reports you hear, that's what he does week in, week out. Mm-hmm. So the more he does that on the world stage, the more exciting it's going to be. So like you say, it was a very good advert for both sides playing really highly competitive cricket in a good spirit. And probably 1-1, as you say, was probably fair at the end of it, I think.
Haider himself, as you say, just 19 years of age, becomes the first debutant for Pakistan to get a 50 in his opening knock. So, again, watch the space. Remember the name, Haider. I think he's one for the future. Interesting, though, from an England perspective, Joe Root in the week for Yorkshire performed wonders in the T20 arena. Can't get a knock for England in the T20 game. I wonder if there will be opportunities down the road for him. But fascinated to see in a very competitive third test, which, as we said, Pakistan won right to the wire. It was an older age player, a stalwart, Moeen Ali, who got us back into contention with a great knock of 61 from 33 balls. He's been a really rather good servant for English cricket, hasn't he, Moeen?
Very, very much. And an extraordinarily gifted ball striker with a bat, certainly. And he's turned himself into a very good bowler. he was obviously on this fairly dreadful run of innings in certainly one day in 2020 cricket where he hadn't scored any runs, but he stood up the other day. Certainly, striking it at 200 is the unicorn of 2020. Really, you if you can strike at 200 or more, you're going to change and win games for your team. So, unfortunately, he didn't quite get us over the line. But I think I watched the back end of that innings. I think the Pakistani bowlers bowled extremely well, actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, credit to him for scoring that score. But obviously, they couldn't get over the line in the end. But yeah, he's a great servant and a great ambassador for the sport in this country.
And once again, that shows us what we've been talking about in recent weeks, the character of this English team squad across all the three forms of cricket is absolutely astonishing. As you rightly addressed, Moeen came in there, not necessarily feeling the pressure, but certainly without a knock to his name for quite a little while. And again, he just wouldn't have known that, witnessing that effort. This character has really been well embedded. As a captain yourself, Tom, do you think this certainly stems from the top and trickles down, almost a la a culture?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, culture is the hard in business and in sport, in anything, is the hardest thing to form. If you can, I think what Owen Morgan seems to have created is this atmosphere of no fear cricket. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be necessarily ramifications. Go out and express yourself. If we're going to try and score more than 200 in a 20 over game, then that's what we're going to do. Go and try and do it. And there's not going to be this trial by media if you don't mm-hmm. succeed. He seems to always support those guys. And I like to try and do the same thing with us, is play some no fear cricket. And it's all about risk reward, isn't it? But if you can do that and get guys not nervous about their position in the team and go out and expressing their talent, then you tend to see some better results and a lot more smiles on faces, which is always a better culture to be in.
Absolutely. And that will be coming to the fore, no doubt, for this mouth-watering affair on Saturday. Please, goodness me, weather permitting, because this has got a real advert for local cricket written all over it. Table-topping clash. The Rolls-Royce of the league, unbeaten Radlett, travel to top of the table Potter's Bar on Saturday. Tom, you have been crucial in instilling a vital fearless culture there at Radlett. It's going to be tested severely against Potter's Bar. Your final thoughts ahead of this crunch clash on Saturday?
There's nothing else but excitement about it. If you fear these games, then you'll probably end up losing them, and you mm-hmm. have to take them head on. Potter's Bar have a great side. They're from 1 to 11, they're very strong in depth, and we are as well. So let's go out, let's play some good attacking, aggressive cricket, and let's see who comes out on top, and let's have a beer afterwards. that's the way to go, isn't it?
Yeah. I love that. Absolutely encapsulating the ethos, the spirit of cricket, and indeed all good sport. It's work hard, control the controllables, and then play hard post. I love that, Tom. And I would like to hope that whatever you are imbibing post-game tastes all the sweeter for a table-topping victory. Got to tell you, always supremely brilliant to enjoy your company. I'd like to take a moment to extend our best wishes from myself personally, the whole team at Verulam Sports, to you and the whole Radlett team for this massive fixture. I look forward to hearing all about it with you next week. So thanks again tonight.
No problem. Thanks, mate. Take care. Cheers.
Take good care. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello again, and it's now the second part of this week's Verulam Sports cricketing special, and we've got on the line Rupert Garrett from Harpenden. Rupert, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Tony. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Always good to speak with you. Tell you what, goodness me, we spoke, haven't we, about momentum in sport all the time. And after that first victory 2 weeks ago now, back-to-back wins for Harpenden. Goodness me. And a tough fixture it was as well against West Hearts last week. And, you know, you guys did the business. Look to me that once again, your bowlers came to the party big style. Give us the flavour, the story of that second consecutive win.
Thanks, Sonny. Yeah, well, it was a wet, horrible day. I mean, drizzle all day. So, you know, belated congratulations to players and the umpires for letting the game go ahead, because Anyway, neither side really dominated with the bat. Mm-hmm. Harpenden were about 100 for, well, 150 for six, and then the tail wagged, the phrase that comes to cricket, and got up to 200, which I think was regarded as a pretty good score. Mm-hmm. West Hearts were 50 for their wicket, and they lost wickets pretty steadily. The Harpenden spinners did a very good job. And it was only some reckless bowling at the end, really, by the young Harpenden quicks that let West Hearts back in. Mm-hmm. So the result, while it looks quite close, in actual fact, Harpenden should have won a lot easier. So it was, I'm not going to say it was a convincing victory, because West Hearts got very close. But Harpenden should have won a lot easier than they did.
At the end of the day, though, whichever way it comes, however it happens, it's back-to-back wins. And the team must be jubilant after that. There must be a real good atmosphere. Because always, before that, Rupert, there was the sense that this young side is building something. But there is something special about that winning habit, isn't there?
Of course, yes. I think we all know in all sport, you get situations where you're winning the habit. And you get in any sport, you get to those parts of the matches when it can go either way. In the early parts of the season against the stronger sides, mm-hmm. maybe their experience shone through. But on the last two occasions, Harpenden, won those important moments. So they've got to do the same. They're playing a strong side on Saturday. But as you say, you'd rather go into a game having won the last two games than having lost the last two games.
No, absolutely so. And I'm looking forward to being there on Saturday. Hopefully I won't be a jinx to this on-form Harpenden team. I sometimes have that effect.
But don't worry, we won't blame you in Radio Berlin if that ends up in the text.
That's out there. That's the universe has heard that, Rupert, so I appreciate that. But yeah, good big fixture. As you rightly say, Tutteridge Mill Hillians are flying high. They are third at present. Played 7, 1-4, 1-loss and 2, no results. But back-to-back wins, Harpenden come in on form and now rise up to 6th in the league. As you identified right from the kickoff of our local cricket specials, Rupert, no titles to be won this season, but local bragging rights at stake and momentum to be maintained. Massive, massive fixture this weekend, I would say.
Yes, it is. I mean, they're a strong side, Totteridge. I think they got to the final last year, the last 2 years. They're definitely one of the strongest sides. They've got quite a few players who've had ex-first-class experience, and they always compete well with the strongest side. Mm-hmm. So it will be a tough game. And again, I think even though Harpenden are at home, the bookies probably would have Totteridge as favourites, but that's going obviously on past form. But I think there's no reason why Harpenden at home wouldn't be hoping to get another scalp on Saturday.
Absolutely. Coming in with confidence, as we've identified. I tell you what's really interesting this weekend, though, is that with the table toppers colliding, a good result for Totteridge would maybe see them skyrocket up the league in their own right. So, again, this is a very high-calibre team that are coming to town on Saturday. I'm sure everybody is very well aware of the challenges that Totteridge pose.
Yes, very experienced side, and I think they're a strong side. They bat quite a long way down. They've got some very talented bowlers. If Harpenden aren't at the top of their game, it could be a very long or short afternoon. But I think, say Harpenden are going in confident, playing well, and I think it'll be a competitive match whichever way the result goes.
Absolutely. There's something to be said for momentum, as we've identified. Back-to-back wins. Can it be 3 on the spin? We'll find out. I'll witness it with my own good eyes. I look forward to unpacking the result, whatever may come with you next week. But, Rupert, got to see the bigger picture of cricket. Always appreciate your erudition in the bigger schema of cricket. You know me, I'm a dinosaur, test match man to my dying day. But I've watched really closely the Pakistan T20 series, finished 1-1. Both games could have gone either way. Obviously, the first one, a bit of a write-off. But goodness me, what an advert for the game of T20 this was, in the sense that it wasn't just whack-em, smack-em. There was traditional shots played, but both games gone down to the wire. Fascinating.
No, I agree. I think it was two very good sides, and I think everyone's going to be aware there's not much cricket being played in the world at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I heard some Aussie guys were staying up watching the test matches all night and looking, and were disappointed the one day game got rained off. So, yes, it was exciting. And actually, funny enough, there's T20 on the moment and they pulled the boundaries in, and it's gone back to a bit of the smash them, as you just said, miss hits are going for six. I mean, those one-day internationals with full-size grounds, mm-hmm. yes, Tom Banson and young Pakistani guys hit some incredible sixes, but they were clean hits.
Yes.
I think when you get a top edge going for six, it ends up being a little bit of, well, not Mickey Mouse cricket, but, you know, I'm with you, the old-fashioned people amongst us will go, well, that's not proper cricket. You know, you should be rewarded for a powerful shot, but if you don't get it fully on the ball, be it in baseball or be it in tennis mm-hmm. or be it any other sport, then you shouldn't get the reward. So I agree, it was very exciting. And in some ways, particularly they couldn't have another game to decide the series. But anyway, let's hope they can go to Pakistan in years to come, and the West Indies, to thank them for the great effort they've made in coming over to us during these difficult and troubled times.
Here. I think that's a really critical point. It hasn't been without its shenanigans, this cricketing international series, but starting with that West Indies efforts. Then the Pakistan test match affairs, and obviously the T20. But overall, in challenging circumstances, we seem to say it every week, but I do believe overall, cricket has proven to be the biggest victor here. Just to unpack quickly the T20 affair, though, with Pakistan, got to give so much credit to Owen Morgan in that second test, which was saw England take a 1-0 lead. As I say, both games could have gone either way. Pakistan set a huge total. And when Owen came to the crease, he just oozed confidence, looked so calm, played all the shots, and really took that game back by the scruff of the neck. So impressed by Morgan.
Yes, he's become a great captain, and he's England play without fear in one-day cricket. I mean, they want to go at, I don't know, except with a target of 10 and over, but they want to score a boundary every over, if not every ball. Mm-hmm. And when he came in, you might recall that he reverse swept his first ball for four, having just lost the wicket, and it got, you said, the momentum back. He's an incredible cricketer. I mean, you know, he didn't make it in Test cricket. He won't play Test cricket again, but there's no reason why, having won a World Cup, that England, obviously assuming things get back to normal, I think the next T20 World Cup, England will definitely be one of the favourites, because they've got so much firepower. And bear in mind, this game they played against Pakistan, I think we know Pakistan were at full strength. England were missing Stokes and a few of their other senior, more experienced players, who are actually, some of them are playing tomorrow against Australia. That'll be a good T20 series as well, and one day series. But I think, you know, we're without Ben Stokes at the moment, and he'd be in the side, of course.
Of course, as you and I have said, definitely would make any World 11 in any form of cricket at the moment. We're going to build up to that big one, though, with the old enemy coming to town. It's Australia ranked one, England ranked two in the ICC Cricket T20 World Rankings. That'll tell you, it's going to be compelling. Can't wait for it. But just before we build to that, I want to just quickly go back to this Pakistan T20 series. Goodness me, where have they been hiding? Hyder, 19 years of age, 54 from 33 balls. And, you know, goodness me, to the manner born, the first Pakistani debutant to get a 50 knock in his and a T20 debut. That young man, wrap him up in cotton wool if I'm Pakistan. He looks a bona fide talent.
He does. He looks an incredible player. I think he played in the Under-19 World Cup. But then, it's interesting on that. We could have another show about what I'm going to say now, Tony. I mean, I think in England, we're not maybe as good as getting young talent come through early. I know Tom Banton's there, I guess, but he's an exception. Pakistan, they've played 16 and 17-year-olds in their test sides and one-day side. So, and their bowling attack was very young. And then as and when, you know, so the point there is the next World Cup T20, those bowlers would have played, well, obviously, COVID permitting, you know, 20, 30, 40 matches. And yes,
you're a veteran and you're 20 in that context, aren't you? You've gathered experience, you've kind of learned at the highest level, and that's going to do one of two things. It's either going to see you thrive or it's going to see you fall. Either way, they're building for the future. I tell you, this Pakistan side, you're right, they've got a very interesting cricketing culture that maybe we can learn a thing or two from. One thing, though, from the England culture that has impressed me massively across all forms has been their character and their will. And I thought that was embodied by a man at the other end of his kind of playing career in Moeen Ali, who almost took England back to an improbable victory. Came to the crease with England under real pressure. They fell just six runs shy at the end of the day, but that's through no fault of Moeen. 61 from 33 under a little bit of pressure, no real knocks for a little while. And once again, just ooze confidence, ooze conviction. And for me, is a real personification of this will and character across all forms of cricket that England have at this time.
Yes, I agree. Moeen Ali, what a talent. I mean, again, the press give him a hard time. It looks so easy for him. And sometimes he hits out of stupid shots. Well, some would say, but, you know, when they come off, he's probably one of the most stylish one-day players in the world. They look a happy signing in at the moment. They've got competition for places. You could probably play, you know, another sort of England second team would give most teams a good chance now. I mean, you know, Alex Hales isn't playing for disciplinary reasons. Whether he should be in the side or not, well, that's by the by. But Roy, and they're talking the Australia game tomorrow. They're going to have to keep, there's an injury for Roy, isn't there? So Butler's going to keep and best. So they think might drop Banton or Milan. Well, they both look very strong. So it shows the strength we've got. And of course, even without Stokes. So yeah, very good side. The one-day system in this country is working. And let's hope it can also carry on or boost the test side as well, Tony, when test cricket starts again. And we can beat Australia down under. But I know I'm digressing again. So
not really, Rupert. This dinosaur raises a glass to that sentiment 100%. Interesting, a name that wasn't mentioned there is the captain of the Test arena, which is to say Joe Root, has scored big for Yorkshire, almost as a reminder that I'm still here and I'm more than capable of doing the job at this T20 level. Be interesting to see how his trajectory in the shorter form develops over the coming months. But right now, we've got to talk Australia, England. Goodness me, in any sport, whether it's tiddlywinks, cricket, golf, rugby, whatever it is, there's always that added spice, isn't it, when we collide with Australia. As I mentioned, Australia are ranked one in the T20 ICC current rankings. England at number two. This is going to be a doozy. First test is Friday. Then another a day off, a game on Sunday, the second test, weather permitting, of course, and it culminates on Tuesday. So once again, thick and fast. Once again, hopefully, another great advert for T20 and one of the great rivalries in all sports, isn't it, England-Australia?
Yes, and this is a full-strength Australian team. You know, Steve Smith, all their quicks are over here. Glenn Maxwell, who's he had a few, he was off for a few months with a mountain illness, but he's back now. So they're very much at full strength. And they'll want to win because people remember in the World Cup last year, England embarrassed Australia in the semi-final. They absolutely destroyed them in that semi. So as you said, over and above the fact England-Australia is always very competitive, Australia would really want to win both the T20s and the one-day games. And it'll be very, very competitive. No, the crowd wouldn't be there to boo, were they, David Warner? Maybe we'll be on that now, then.
Yeah, well, we'll see. There is something to be said that I'm just delighted that there is cricket to discuss. But there is something missing, isn't there, from the unique atmosphere that cricket fans bring to the table across all forms of the wonderful game of cricket. But I think at this moment, we've just got to be delighted that there is this compelling short form of the game series against the old enemies. And I'm going to ask you, Rupert, briefly, we'll move on to the one-day series a bit later. But just for tonight, your predictions for this three-match, quick, snappy burst series against Australia in the T20 stuff.
2-1 England. I think England are obviously coming off hot. Australia, they've been in that bubble in Derby, but you've got to back England, I think, to win two of them. Australia, I think it'll be close, but I think I'll go England 2-1.
I like that, and I'm going to echo that, but that's probably going to be the death knell of it. Me and predictions are atrocious, but there we go. Anyway, coming back, I'm not going to ask you for a prediction for the game against Totteridge Mill Hillians on Saturday, but just your final thoughts ahead of this one. As we've said, Totteridge in third, very competitive outfit. Harpenden currently in sixth, but coming in to Saturday's clash on back-to-back wins. Rupert, your final thoughts ahead of this crunch clash?
I think Totteridge will be favourites, and I think there was, as long as Harpenden can stay in the game, then the pressure will build on Totteridge because they're expected to win. So I think if Harpenden can get a decent score if they bat first, or restrict Totteridge to no more than 250, depending on the weather, they've got a chance. But if Totteridge get 300 or Harpenden don't make enough runs, I think it could be a short day. But I think. If a game is being played 10 times, Harpenden will probably win three out of and Totteridge seven. But let's hope Saturday it's going to be one of those three games.
I like the shout there, and I look forward to witnessing the result as it plays out this weekend. And then, of course, discussing it with you next week. Rupert, always appreciate your time. Keep well, keep safe. I look forward to enjoying your company in real life on Saturday. Take good care. Yeah.
Am I going to buy you a beer, Tony?
No, there's no compulsion on that, but I'm sure what goes around comes around, sir. So.
Okay, cheers.
Top man.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.